welcome once more to Oof, I Wrote That. We are at the thrilling conclusion of Sheila's story, so we're going to skip past pop culture chat, because this is our third episode that we're recording in this little session, so we've already kind of talked about stuff. And Sheila's got, what did we say, 9 pages left?
Mm-hmm.
We were at the thrilling conclusion. So we get to see how Taylor dies. Tyler.
You don't know. Taylor.
Taylor.
Taylor. I'm so delighted to bring you all on this journey with me. And I will say that if you are, you know, hungry for more after this comes to an end, as we discussed a few episodes ago, the good news is that I found the missing first half of this novel. So there's more adventures with the gang.
So we will definitely be going back and starting at the very, very, very beginning.
Oh, a time when we were so innocent.
Exactly. But yeah, so last we left our heroes, they were running up the stairs of a building. Was that what it was?
Yes.
Okay.
We sauntered into the lustrous building. The interior decoration was quite professional, as you might expect for a Chicago.
And a Darcy would be like, oh, what professional decoration?
I could probably do better.
You would know. You're 16.
Marbleized walls, gold-flaked ceiling, crystal chandelier suggesting an imminent crash. Foreshadowing or Phantom of the Opera Easter egg?
Why not both?
I get to push the button, I howled, because I'm 5, and smacked the button for the 14th floor resoundingly.
I like that they just, like, stroll into this fucking building, and it's like, they own the fucking place.
Some buildings, you can do that. Like, when I went into the Chicago Athletic Association, I was like, am I allowed to be in here? Forgetting my decorum entirely, I leapt frenetically into the air several times, savoring the gravity-defiant feeling. It's like the end of the Breakfast Club. Taylor regarded me, slightly amused. He had remained too long in his 20s. He had erased all memory of the protocol for children in elevators.
He is 22 years old.
And you are newly 16.
And you are a child. The two of you should not be hanging out together.
No, it's gross. The elevator slammed to a halt on the 14th floor. I stepped out magnificently, glanced around furiously, weird, and glimpsed the sign directing those patrons who sought the roof up a flight of concealed stairs. Tay let me lead him up, and we emerged into the refreshing balminess of midsummer's night. Oh, it's beautiful, I shrieked, the wind planting its sweet kisses on my cheek. Ugh. Isn't it, Tay?
Is Woof just, like, chilling up here? Like, waiting, like, like he was hanging out and having a nice night, and then he's like, what the fuck are these two doing here?
Man, I just wanted to catch some, like, views up here. Isn't it, Tay? Yeah. Damn, we're really high up. Hey, look, you can see into that office across the street. Wolf Alex Sniper? A vaguely rat-like man was pacing back and forth. Suddenly, he swooped down and clutched the phone. He gesticulated in fine barbarian fashion and then tossed the receiver irascibly across the room. He's not having as nice a night as ours, I pronounced rapturously, because I can't enjoy anything unless someone else is having a worse time.
Indeed.
No, he's not, is he? Here, have some cookies, Taylor.
I want you to know that I'm sitting here fantasizing all of the ways that this guy is going to die. Just so you know, that's where my head's at right now.
You don't know. He might not die.
He's so dead. Dead meat. Like, mega level dead meat.
Look at this girl. Dead, dead, dead.
I say you, he dead.
Did you? What is that from?
I think that's Family Guy.
That sounds like Family Guy. The other one is from that movie 200 Cigarettes, where this guy was like, look at this girl, she's crazy. Look at this guy. Did, did, did. Taylor prompted me and slipped a tiny chocolate chip into my mouth. Vom. Seasonably, if accidentally, I nibbled his finger. So much nibbling on people.
Well, and like, just fuck. Like, can we just fuck?
No, we just have to feed each other things.
Right?
Ugh.
Right? I don't find that sexy at all. I know some, it's not like...
I think like in a very limited circumstance it can be. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, let me eat my food, man.
Pretty much, yes.
That's
where I'm at. Right?
Yeah. Darcy. Huh? I was absorbed in the eccentric demeanor of the rat man in the office.
Darcy.
Can I ask you something? Sure.
Is he... The face I'm making, gentle listeners.
Wait for it, wait for it.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know why I didn't see this coming. She is 16 years old.
What do you think is happening?
Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead.
Sure. I studied the street below, pondering the commuters and the diners, the strollers and the lovers so many leagues down.
All right, Rainbow Connection.
perhaps up here I was a goddess.
I was going to ask you like what time of day we're at, but if there's like commuters.
I think it's dusk. Okay. Yeah, I think it's, well, it's June though, so that wouldn't be dusk at rush hour.
Yeah.
I think it's like 7 o'clock at night.
Okay.
That's my vision.
Okay.
I was a goddess, a revered deity, and these were my dollhouse figures, my chess pieces. That's very telling, isn't it?
That's quite the mixed metaphor there, Darcy.
I watched them scurry to their spectrum of activities and routines. Turn around, sweetheart, was his mild command.
Totally naked. Sorry. Just hanging brain on the top of the Marshall Fields building.
With his dick waving in the
wind. On a cool June evening. He's either like promise ringing her or he's giving her like an engagement ring. So let's get to it.
I spun around, dethroned from my majestic stature, but still floating in an ethereal world. Okay, Madonna. Night, the sight I was met with was the most radiant, divine view I had ever laid eyes on. Taylor was in a classic stance. A classic stance. One hand on his dick. Just kidding. Down on one knee, the other bent, and his yearning eyes glued to mine. It quivered and nearly toppled over. His trembling fingers were twined
around his dick. You can tell we're getting...
Sorry, we're getting so sloppy, but it's just so funny to me.
We're getting sloppy. It's a little late, but we got this. We're got almost this. Done. We're powering through. Also, she's 60. Is he like... I'll let you continue, and then I will ask my questions.
It twined around a velvety box, which embodied all the secrets of the world. It finally becomes a fantasy novel. I observed everything, every minute detail. The way the streetlights caught his blonde tresses and ignited them into flame, if only. The dot of glinting maroon on his sweet lips from where he had been gnawing. The Elysian...
Ew.
We know that she likes blood. We've learned this.
Is true.
The Elysian fields of his eyes. Darcy, he quaked. I wanted to know, would you, when you turn 18, would you be my... The last word was drowned in an ocean of cacophony, which yes. swallowed all his love.
Yes!
It's finally here. Your
Let's
moment is here.
Go.
All his love and all of mine. Blood spouting in a hellish fountain from his lips. He
yes.
keeled
he
forward.
Got shot? Yes.
And tumbled.
Attaboy, woof.
Ow, bitch. Ow. And tumbled limply toward the edge. What the hell is happening? Oh, God, no, please. Nobody can fall from there.
Because
he gets
shot and fall.
It's not yes. possible. A diabolical shadow propelled itself roughly forward, its hands, the hands of Satan, on the wings of an angel, and shoved him over.
Yes!
Dun, dun, dun. Taylor, I screamed silently, blindly. I staggered to the edge. Not you, little lady, just him. A horse fiend muttered in my ear.
I'm sorry. Obviously, it's horse, as in like a horse.
Wolf Alley rode it on his horse.
But the horse fiend is even better. What's that clip clopping coming up the stairs?
It's the pony of doom.
We're never going to get that horse back down. You realize that, right?
He's going over too.
It's a roach on the roof.
Two virulent hands coated with blood and grime, sweat and pestilence, grasped me around the waist and dragged me like a cliched sack of potatoes onto the stairs. I was swept up in a torrent of blood in a sea of mutated wolves.
Sweet.
Wolves, wolves, something about a wolf, and it was baying in my ear and howling curses. Wolf, Wolf Halleck.
Yes.
I wrenched myself free, heaved away and into the elevator. Somebody, please help me, somebody, I sobbed, but the rats who populated the building had all scuttled back into their holes. I surged forward into the empty shell of an elevator. It was an empty vessel, a corpse without a soul. Wolf was trailing behind.
I mean, corpse without a soul, that's a pretty good line. I'll give you that.
I just think that's what all corpses are.
I know, but that's a good line.
Really? Thanks.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you I'll accept the it. Compliment. Jesus. Holly jolly.
Holly jolly. This is a holly jolly mess. But the doors clanged shut with a force of thousands and thousands of newtons. Physics.
I'm smart.
The elevator wound its way through the floors, sliding down the ribbon of the elevator shaft. At the bottom, I ripped myself from the elevator's strong grip. The thoughts pouring through my head, inundating my sense, weren't real. The people weren't rats. The elevator wasn't a person.
It was with Halleck, like, Terminatoring behind her. Like, he's just, like, Michael Myersing. Okay.
I believe that's what's happening. Even though he said, not you, just him. He's still chasing her. Wolf can't get enough of her. Just
well,
like
he wants
else.
Her, right? Like, that's, like, the thing.
I don't think he wants her. I think he wants to kill her.
Oh, okay. I'm into that, too.
I don't know. I hurtled myself at the glass doors, and they opened, showing me a vision in a crystal ball. Taylor was there, immersed in a congealing pool of his own blood, cresting a wave of scarlet, wheezing the juice, crowded around him. I don't know. It felt right.
It's late. We're on vacation. We're a little drunk. Felt right.
Crowded around him were jostling citizens, the people I had commanded before, back when I was a goddess. I still possessed the eternal power. I had to command them again. Somebody go get an ambulance, I raged. Why isn't there one?
Because it don't matter, babe. Was it 14 stories up? Say you.
Mm-hmm. I say you, he did. A skulking figure in a brown derby snatched my flailing arm. We already got one. The paramedics are on their way. Did you know him? I'm his girlfriend, I wept brokenly. You were his girlfriend? I still am his girlfriend, I frothed. Why do you say were? He's not dead. Can't you see that? I see that. The man melted into the crowd, not wanting to confront my considerable passion.
I was hoping that we would get, like, a deathbed scene, though. I was like, oh, he fell off this building. There's no chance. However.
We shall see.
In a deathbed, you know, on the sidewalk. Either way, same thing.
Oh, girl. This is going to drag out.
Of course it is.
Skinning them brutally on the pavement, tainting them, dishonoring them with geysers of Taylor's blood. Taylor was a survivor, although his legs were probably shattered like a mirror, although he'd been shot in the back, although he had grazed his head on the glacial sidewalk. He would live through it. He
grazed?
Had to.
Grazed? Yes, buddy.
Just a flesh wound.
He's fine.
Santa buddy.
Tis but a scratch. Santa buddy. Callbacks.
You know that's my fave. Darcy. He croaked weakly. He's alive. And a tremor heaved through his body. He writhed in pain for a second. Listen to me. I'm going to die. No, you're not, I denied. Let me talk. A shroud of silence blanketed the crowd. I want you to finish your book. Put me in it.
Was she writing a book?
Mm-hmm. Okay. They both were.
Of course. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah, no, I remember. This is the important thing. Finish your book.
My death is about you.
And you maybe getting published one day.
And if you ever want to marry someone else. His head lolled to one side. The exertion of his noble sentence was too much. I love you, I wept, the sorrow shielding my vision from my vision everything.
I'm sorry, there's just these people in this crowd are like, that is a child and that is a man. What is happening?
In a probes. Everything but Taylor glowing in his halo of blood. You too, he stuttered, and then was stricken with silence. Suddenly, I was bustled aside by a beefy paramedic, garbed in shimmering tangerine. Okay, girly, you're going to have to move. Animalistic, I hastened aside on scraped hands and knees. Come on, let's get him up here. In graceful synchronicity, they swept Taylor onto the stretcher and bound him viciously in. The static of the radio dispatches
okay,
crackled
I'm gonna
in
tell
my
you
head.
Right now, that's not what's happening. This is a, okay, everybody leave. We got to get the shroud up and... This is a body bag situation.
No, he's still alive.
Oh, is he? Oh, I thought it sounded like, oh, his head lolled back and that was it.
We'll see.
Oh, okay. This fucker survives to the hospital. Come on. Come on.
What if this story is a happy ending?
It definitely doesn't.
Blotted out the hysterics of women and valiant shouts of men. Unnecessary sexism.
Indeed.
On brand.
Very.
Somebody give me a phone, I thundered. Please. I scanned the crowd. One woman with glossy raven hair slicked trendily behind her ears tossed her cellular phone my way. Give me your cellular phone. I intercepted
it. Tossed it. It's like a fucking like briefcase back then.
I intercepted it deftly and stabbed out Tom's number. This is a dwigged situation.
Oh, okay.
She is calling Dakota.
Oh, okay.
Dakota, Dakota, I moaned, tears streaming mercilessly down my face. Taylor, he's dying. I mean, he's not dying. I don't know. Where are you? He asked urgently. Where am I? I crowed at the assembly. State and Madison, a man called back helpfully. One thing about Chicagoans is that they're quite humane and empathetic to the bereaved. Okay.
Sure, babe.
Maybe. I repeated that to Dakota, the words coagulating at the back of my throat into a bristling knot. I'll be there, he hissed, and his receiver crashed down. Snuffling, I punched in the required buttons for deactivating the cell phone. Important details. And returned my benefactor's munificent grace with profuse thanks.
You gotta close that loop, man. It's important.
It's true. Eternity reigned. When Dakota and the crew reached their destination, along with Ursula Devaney, they flooded out of the car. Where is he? Barked Ivan. He's gone. In the ambulance, I mean. I clarified when Ivan's grim reaper visage blackened. Get in the car, Darcy. We're going back to St. Genevieve's. I was only an insensate icicle, one which melted to Ivan's superiority.
I'm assuming that's where Ursula works?
I believe so.
Okay.
I don't know why back to there. Like, I guess Jeremy had been there recently.
Yeah.
Dakota, with facial cast I'd never observed before, squeezed my hand and the tears trickled down onto our locked hands. William, as vulnerable as me in this heartbreaking moment, shared a leaden glance, revealing mortal horror. Ursula had wilted, no longer the invincible Amazon she had been since I'd known her. She, too, was choking back an artesian spring of tears. Connor and Jeremy, squished together in the unity of our car, were avoiding the gazes of the others, but I caught the tempestuous swirl in Jeremy's eyes. Even Ivan was sobbing.
So you're telling me I got a chance.
I'm in. What happened, Darcy? I could only stammer out an ineffectual explanation, but the gist of it was completely lucid.
I would also like to point out that Wolf Halleck just, like, phantom nin at the top of this, like, building.
Like, how did he even know they were going to be there?
Right? Unless he's been stalking them the whole time. Like a wolf.
And then, like a wolf in the night.
He was just like, okay, yeah, I'm good. I'm done. Later.
I've got some time between my DJ shifts.
He walked by the like, crowd was just like, all right. Deuces.
Who is that handsome man?
Narrative purpose fulfilled.
He may make a reappearance.
If he doesn't, I'll be very sad.
Wolf
shows up at the hospital to finish the job.
Wolf is going to die, prophesied Jeremy with cabalistic
intonation. Oh, this is true. We need to have the big, like, rumble, right? Where we, like, this is the Outsiders. I forgot about that. Yes, yes.
In silence, we all bounced out of the car and raced for the sheltering illumination of the hospital. Without consulting anyone, we accosted a couple paramedics trekking militantly out the door. Where's Taylor Maris? Ivan demanded, his severe facial cast evincing the astringency waiting his soul.
What?
Room 102, second door on the left if you take that hallway down there.
Because this guy would know.
Well, he's a paramedic. Oh, yeah, no, I guess he wouldn't know.
He'd have no idea. Why are you asking me this?
Ursula was the first to accelerate, her Rapunzel hair streaming out behind her. This motivated the rest of the congregation, and we followed her shining example of hospital conduct. 100, 101, 102, she wheezed. This one. Jeremy clattered the doorknob around with sweltering ardor. He slung the door open to display, to all our prying eyes, a terribly deplorable vision. Star-crossed Taylor lay stiffly on the bed, his unadulterated beauty marred by the manifold cables. Wires, tubes, and machines. None of us dared enter. A whisking matronly nurse was directing an evil eye at us. She puttered around for several minutes before acknowledging our existence. What did you want? She asked absently.
This is also kind of hilarious that, like, he's not in, like, the ER in, like, emergency surgery. Like,
it should be
like 14 stories is a high up.
Yeah, he would not. His
Your
face
ass is dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You got shot. You're done. Yeah. You're done.
You would think. We're friends of his, I whimpered. Is he going to be okay? You'll have to speak to the doctor, was her crisp dismissal. I'm not licensed to diagnose. True, but what a bitch. Do you know when he'll be in? My translucent, ephemeral hopes were fluttering in the wind, not sure whether to spread out and form a stately flag or allow the air currents to rip them to shreds. Extended metaphors. Probably in about 5 minutes. You'll have to leave when he comes in, though. I suggest you go to the lounge and wait there. Meekly, we trudged to the lounge. We ought to wait a while longer so the doc can check out everything, Ursula ventured. After a while, we can find out the diagnosis. Diagnosis.
Death.
Busted. Right. Jeremy seemed consumed by some vestiges of an unexorcisable demon. In my heart, there was no room in the inn for anger. I could only fathom the sacrosanct anguish. Ivan automatically stretched out an expectant arm for Ursula, but she temporarily forswore it. Although she offered no justification, I knew the reckoning behind her action. Darcy has no one to love right now. I shouldn't either. I mean, I get it, but
yeah, but like, come on.
It's all about me.
It's all about me.
Thusly steeped in agony, we sat solidly seven toads on a log until the nurse came padding solicitously across the threadbare carpet. "Your friends of Taylor Maris?" "Yes," I answered as she fluttered officiously through a sheaf of papers. "The doctor would like to speak with all of you."
That's how this works.
"Go on," Ivan impelled me tenderly with his wiry hand. "We're all here." We filed deferentially into Taylor's room and clustered around his bed the way mourners encircle a bier. "Yes." I quavered and sought Dakota's arms. The doctor pranced in a moment later.
Pranced.
In a ropes. A mustachioed, scholarly man. He extended his sweaty hand to all of us, enfolded them in a mechanical, clammy grip, then loosed our hands and eased the door closed. "How is he?" My oscillating voice peaked in a soprano, then cut a jagged path to tenor. "That's what I'm here to talk to you about." The doctor rupped his chrome dome. Like, unnecessary?
A little butt shot? Yeah, inappropriate for the,
like,
for
a little
the scene.
Too comical?
Yeah.
And shot a lackadaisical glance at Taylor. "He's been severely injured."
No shit.
Yeah, right. Okay, thanks, Dr. Obvious. "The bullet pierced his..." Well, let me put this in terms you'll understand. He droned, apparently having arrived at the conclusion that my friends and I were ignorant street rabble.
Well.
Correct.
Call a spade, man.
"His left leg's been fractured. There was extreme trauma to the head due to the fall he took."
Uh-huh.
"And his spinal cord suffered minimal damage as well."
Minimal.
"However, all this could be overcome with intensive care and a wheelchair were it not for the bullet he took." To state it, here's the thing a doctor will never say. "To state it more bluntly, he's a vegetable." "Your bedside manner is appalling."
Oh, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Let's keep going.
"No," I spat, battering the doctor's thought fragments to bits. "No, he's going to wake up. You'll see. Tomorrow morning." "Ma'am, in all seriousness, there is nothing that can be done for him."
Oh, so ma'am? No. Child. Kid. Why am I talking to you?
Who even are you? "Is anybody here familiar with the provisions of his will?" "His will?" I expostulated.
"He's 22. He doesn't have a will."
"Why do you need that?"
"Who's going to get a sword?" Sorry. I've broken Sheila.
Oh, no. "It's his most prized possession."
It is John Lennon glass.
I'm picturing, like, the glasses that Geralt gets for the wedding.
Yes. Yes. 1,000 times yes.
"Steadfastly disdaining my puerile eruption."
Puerile? I think it's puerile.
I think it's puerile. Yeah. The doctor focused on Ivan smartly. "Is there a lawyer present?" Why would there be a lawyer? "We need to check the clause which states his preference in this situation. Doctors do not get paid for that. It happens to people in the news and strangers on the street. It can sometimes happen to a friend of a friend or someone's wife's brother's drinking buddy. It could even happen to your old seventh grade teacher. But never, never, it should never happen to someone you love." Okay.
That was a sentence.
"I know where he kept it," Ivan divulged huskily. "He does have a will."
Oh, okay.
"I can go and get it
this
right now."
This gang member definitely has a will.
I guess, like, he lives a life of, unexpected violence.
Oh, so that would definitely be top of mind.
Absolutely.
Let me go get this notarized.
And a good lawyer, man. "I can go get it right now." "That would be lovely. Please do," the doctor instructed him in a dignified voice. "Guys, I'm taking the car. Don't worry. I'll be right back." Flustered, Ivan's strapping body disappeared out the door.
Where is this hospital? Because I picture, like, where their houses are is approximately, like, where your house is.
Correct.
Okay. Where is the hospital, like, downtown Chicago?
No, I feel like it's, well, yeah, probably, like, the medical district.
Yeah,
but it could be that one at Addison and...
Okay.
Like, that, but that's a bad hospital.
I'm just saying, that's a hike. Like, that, I'm not going to be right back. You're going to be back in, like, 3 hours.
Right? It's rush hour,
yeah,
Ivan.
You fucked.
He's just like, I'm out. I'm not coming back. Fuck these people. His cautious footfall snapped into a pounding run, and barely audible was a feeble sob. "Doctor, with all due respect, we'd like some time alone." Ursula delivered this audacious request with exquisite etiquette.
"Get the fuck out."
"Go away. bowing weakly. The doctor ducked out of the room. I've never seen a doctor bow.
No.
Darcy, Connor muttered. Where's the ring? Ring? I faltered blankly, eyes cemented to Taylor's quiescent body.
Yeah, he never got it open, right?
I don't think so. You said he was proposing to you. Where's the ring you told us he had? Fun fact, Steve proposed to me on the top of a building.
No, I know that. Yeah.
I just love that. I don't know. I lamented a virulent volcano of tears.
When did she tell them that this was happening? That she was getting proposed to? He told them. He did. Yeah. Okay. I thought, yeah. All right, cool.
Volcano of tears dousing my cheeks. It's still on the roof. Maybe Wolf has it. I don't know.
Can we also talk about she is 16 years old? For the love of God.
Oh, so gross. Nibbling fingers of a 22-year-old man. Ugh. It's okay. Dakota vindicated me. Connor, why did you have to mention that now? I'm sorry. It was Connor's rueful requital.
I'm angling.
Like it's my turn. I didn't mean to upset you. I wrung myself from the meaningless conversation. I'm sure we all knew we were dawdling verbally. It was a way to rest our minds from the inevitable, to pretend we still dwelled in a castle on a cloud. I'd like to go there in my sleep.
I see you.
Taylor's
Shibby
hands.
Sheila.
Oh, God, it's so bad. We're so still, sunk in torpidity. Those same Herculean hands which had delighted Mixie, which had plaited themselves into my hair, which had those guitar player fingers which can work magic on a girl's sore shoulders. Yeah, shoulders.
Oh, I forgot about the massage.
Those hands now lay dormant. Never
run away.
To rise again.
We can't have sex, but would you give me a back rub? Oh, I'm going to miss this story so much.
There's so much more.
I know. There is still so much.
I had perched next to Taylor, sustaining a cloistered vigil just in case God should choose to blink his omnipotent eyes and perform a miracle.
Yeah, that's not how shit works, babe.
Alas, before our Lord exercised his opportunity, Ivan returned. That was fast.
Got it in the glove box. Don't worry about it.
I was just going to say that. Clutching a diverse melange of legal papers. Here's the will, and here's the lawyer. Acting on this succinct summation, the lawyer introduced himself.
Yeah, where'd we find this fucking lawyer?
Right? Like, if you guys had a lawyer...
Who's hanging outside.
I guess it kind of makes... Well, no, it doesn't
No, it doesn't any
sense
at all. No.
I'm Brandon Heath, he said curtly. We'll worry about possessions and all later, if that's all right with everyone. This is cold. This is not how these things go. I guess, like, somebody has to have the power of attorney.
Yeah, but I feel like this isn't a discussion that's, like... I mean, I've never been a part of a discussion like that, so I don't know.
No.
But it does seem like we're not doing this, like, in the hospital room.
No.
In front of the guy.
Right there. Right. Like, maybe he can hear you.
Right, exactly.
It states here, specifically, quote, if ever the situation arises which moves to necessity hooking me up to a system of life support, then I bequeath the mechanical decision to Ivan Sarsfield, unquote. Okay.
Yeah. Let's just.
He glanced around in lethargic anticipation. Act on it as you will, Mr. Sarsfield. Brandon Heath addressed him laconically. I leave you to deliberate. What a dick. He stalked out, clamping his Irish cap furiously to his balding pate.
Oh, he's bald too, huh?
Everybody's bald.
Everybody's bald.
Chrome domes as far as the eye can see. Not glorious tresses like Taylor has. He left it up to me, Ivan assimilated, and unabashedly permitted a crystalline tear to splash onto his chest. I have to decide. Right now? Ursula bristled. Why can't it wait? Why do we have to put Darcy through this now? She should go home and we can make her some tea or something. Urs, it would be easier just to do it now, Ivan said.
Let's actually just, like, literally pull the plug.
Like, it's over. He's done.
It's done. We're done. Let's just go home.
With as much inflection as a machine, I loathed the way everyone treated Taylor now as if he were an inanimate object. Perhaps he was aware of every word uttered in his presence, although the silhouettes of a creeping doubt were prowling in the back of my mind. I'm going to do it now. Thus resolving, Ivan hurled a terse question to me. Darcy, do you want to help make the decision? To be or not to be? It's a little callback to Hamlet. Partake in the decision, play God, and consider myself responsible for Taylor's misery?
It actually says to be or not to be in the fucking text.
Yes.
Amazing.
Never misses an opportunity.
Hey, did you know? I've seen Hamlet.
I love Shakespeare. Stay out of it and desert him in the end game? I can't let him think I don't care, I choked. I guess I'll help you. I guess.
Brusquely, Ivan drew me out of the room and into the hall. I don't want to put you through this, Darcy. I'm sorry. I keep thinking about the Pearl Jam at the wedding. You're and it's okay. Like, it's not the time for
I'm
that.
Just sitting here like there was far too little Wolf Halleck, and I'm very disappointed.
Don't worry.
Okay.
I know this is more torment for you than anything you've ever survived, but Taylor's your, he's your, I don't know.
Nothing.
He's your boyfriend, I guess, it says.
We've There's known him so much longer than you, but you should definitely make this decision. Child who he has known for 6 months.
It's like, you guys haven't banged, but...
Right.
There's no chance that he can ever wake up. The hoarseness of my voice made communication tedious. I don't... Okay. No chance, Ivan confessed. He was my best friend. I know. Everybody loved him.
I didn't.
Except Erica
Except
Mullen.
Except me.
I won't dox you on the podcast. That's why we should... I don't know. I don't want him to be immortal like that. I don't want Taylor to live for nothing. What's the point? There's no difference between what he's suffering and death. My turbulent rush of words tapered into nothingness. That's what I thought. But still, I'd feel that I was the one who killed him in the end. Ivan, Taylor doesn't want to live like that. He wouldn't. You know him so well. He never wanted to be an invalid or a decrepit old man or anything. Better for him to have gone out
Let's
in a
ice
blaze
him
of
now.
Glory. This is so cold. He'll always be a legend. He'll always be. It's like, he is so far from like legend.
We are not legendary, my friend.
Legendary statutory rapist.
Yeah, no, babe.
He'll always be young. He'll be with Darren. You missed that whole part. It was okay. In the first 100 pages.
I'm assuming Darren is a friend that was killed by Wolf Halleck.
Correct.
Okay, amazing.
Ivan intoned devoutly. He'll go to heaven and be happier there than anything. Pious though he was not, Ivan concealed some real religious gems.
He went around with Mixie in the fields.
Oh, then I guess we're agreed? I stammered, wavering, fluctuating. Had this been the right decision? God grant me the wisdom to understand what was best for Taylor.
It is so funny that this is like so much wish fulfillment. And then you're like, no, he has to die.
Yes.
In the most like cold... dour, grim way possible.
Well, it was either that or write a sex scene, and I didn't know how to do that.
Fair, that's fair. Sex scenes are hard, man.
Yeah, if you're not 12.
Yeah, you gotta keep, like, where's everybody's hands? Where are their limbs? Can you reach there doing this? There's a lot to keep, like...
You have to make it sexy, but not cliche sexy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's one in, it's not, like, massively explicit, but I think I did okay in my book.
Oh, I look forward to discussing that with my husband, who's reading your book this weekend. I guess. Plunging back
into the
room.
The name of which is You Were Always Magic. I should probably name the fucking name. I'm so bad at promotion, dude.
No, you did mention it earlier, but then you called it the wrong title.
That was in the other episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I corrected myself.
That's right. Ivan opened his mouth to declare our decision. We've decided.
I declare... death.
This is a death panel situation. Before the convention, in front of the caucus, Ivan could not force the murderous words from his mouth. Pull the plug.
What's hysterical is like, also like, that's not actually like it's a process. You know, this it's a process.
I know.
It's not just yanking a cord out of a wall.
Seriously. Goodbye. Pull the plug, I ordered rigidly. Now? The doctor? Even the doctor is appalled.
When the doctor's back? The doctor's just like hanging?
Yes.
Okay.
He's back. His bushy mustache quirked in astonishment. Are
okay,
you
I'm
sure?
I'm just fucking picturing Dr. Robotnik now. Because it's bald. We've got the mustache. I'm picturing the stupid little glasses.
It's perfect. He's got Taylor's glasses.
Yes. He bequeathed them to me.
We've known each other a long time.
He's a legend. We go way back.
He's a legend. No, wait. I mean, unable to chain my emotions anymore, I collapsed to the ground and detonated. Taylor, I love you. I love you forever. My sobs inflated the room, bloated it, twisted it with the hideous specter of death. I never heard Ivan's affirmation. I never saw the doctor's pernicious hand throbbing with an accelerated pulse. I love me some throbbing, some again, literary throbbing.
Like this doctor's getting off. I'm like, it's like taking this kid off life support. A little fucked up. A little fucked up, Jimmy Darcy.
And his glasses are mine.
For the collection.
Cleave the sinless plug from its socket. I never saw Taylor die. He is dead, though. Don't worry.
Awesome.
He's not coming
back. No, I assumed so, yes.
Scene change.
There's got to be some sort of, like, ghost-like situation at some point, though.
Oh, like, God, that'd be so good.
He comes back, and there's, like, in the breeze or something before this is over. I believe in Darcy. I believe in you.
A steaming washcloth saturated with moisture afflicted my forehead with its dripping weight. Infirmly, I peeled it off. What happened? I inquired drowsily of the person who accepted it from my floundering hand. He's dead, Darcy. Jeremy purred.
Jeremy!
He's like, yes.
I've been waiting in the shadows.
Finally. We're alone in the house.
I think we're alone now.
You blacked out at the hospital. It's only been a few hours.
Doesn't seem to be anyone around.
I wish I was dead. Me too. I cloaked my face in the lukewarm cloth. Jeremy. I was unprepared for the deluge of affection that rained in rivulets from Jeremy the next instant. Oh, Jeremy has feelings. He clasped into an impenetrable embrace as if to shelter me from the true depravity, the sick dementia of fate.
Angling.
He's angling. He's totally... He's like, I know you like older guys.
How old is Jeremy?
19.
Oh, okay.
Jeremy was the last person on Earth who would ever crumble in the face of adversity. And as I watched, the Titanic submerged. Jeremy, the unsinkable, was crying. Darcy. His ragged throat forced
Darcy.
Out the words.
We have to do something. It's called sex.
It doesn't say that.
We gotta do it for Taylor.
It's what he would
Tyler, call it. I'm sorry.
No, it's Taylor.
It is Taylor, okay.
We have to get revenge. The callous dark lantern in his eyes was jarring. We have to get Wolf Halleck. It's not our place. Do you want to sink to his level?
Yeah.
Yeah, like what?
Vengeance, bitch.
Who
Let's
are
go.
You? Then let me challenge him. I won't do it dishonestly. We'll have a fair fight.
Wait. Jeremy challenged?
Jeremy
okay.
wants to
okay.
get revenge.
That felt like Darcy being like, well, I'll do it. And then they'll be like, yeah.
Just give me the gun. I want to hurt him, Darcy. He hurt Taylor. He hurt all of us. Don't you think he deserves it? Yes, but two wrongs don't make a right.
And yet.
Who's like that? I wanted to sever my conscience from my mind, to smother the preaching narration that barred avenging Taylor's death. Darcy, it'll be fair. We can do it right now. Wouldn't it make you feel better to see him die as painfully as Taylor did? I feel like Jeremy gets me.
Yes.
He was Satan goading me to plunge my canines into the forbidden fruit, and he simultaneously was St. Peter swinging wide the pearly gates. I bet I know where he went. Back to the alley where all the vipers go. He went back to report.
Wolf is in a gang called the Vipers?
Wolf is the leader of the
gang. No, I understand that, but...
Yeah,
the
should
vipers?
It be like the wolf pack?
It should be something a lot, like something lupine for sure.
Totally.
Yes.
We can go right now. I won't go. I'm leaving, was his inexorable statement. He was already yanking a tattered scrap of his coat over his shoulders. Had it been any of the others, I would have proclaimed their bluff. With Jeremy, however, bluff was not a word available in his limited vernacular.
We gotta dig in there. We gotta get one more hard C moment in. One more for the road, guys.
Stomach churning, I vaulted to the door with him. What time is it? About one, he snapped offhandedly and struck a flame to a marijuana joint, which released its stank. You wanna hit this?
I smoked the marijuana like a cigarette.
Like, what a good time to smoke some weed.
I mean, your ass is probably going to get, like, destroyed, so yeah.
It released its staggering perfume. Had never been around.
Yeah.
You want a gun? Jeremy stabbed his hand into his pocket and harvested a wintry construction of steel. He's like, no, I want to hit that joint. No, I blustered when he shoved it at me. Just keep going. The tropical zephyrs of the summer had whipped into arctic winds as Jeremy and I traversed the familiar landscapes. Something in the fabric of life was absent. There was a gaping maw where Taylor's warm presence should have been. The void was crudely stoppered with the antithesis that was Jeremy. Just as I predicted that my last shred of endurance had depleted itself, when I thought we had trekked across the United States,
Jeremy's scabrous hand snagged my arm. Gross. In here, he hissed and bustled me roughly into a side alley. Jeremy. His demeanor was more chilling than I'd ever seen it. He cupped his hands around his mouth and the air sizzled with his feral cry. What are you doing? The deserted pavement was a morass of plastic garbage cans and skittering pebbles. Calling them. It's kind of a code, you know. I just called Wolf. What? And I also told him it was a truce. He's here somewhere and he's waiting for me to lay down the gun. Stooping dauntlessly.
Jeremy has like a direct line to Wolf Halleck.
Like apparently they have a code together.
Like, gotta have a code. Language. Awesome.
It's true. A man got to have a code. He deposited his weapon on the luminous back street. It was his sacrifice, his possession to appease the gods of the alleyways. I don't hate that.
It's not terrible.
Before I could digest the intricate chivalry exercised by the rival gangs, Wolf's tousled head materialized with a mocking bang from one of the garbage bins.
Wait. We're full like Oscar the Grouch. That's amazing.
Oh no.
Sheila's straight up crying.
Oh no.
Why? We've got like a page and a half left. We're so close.
Hanging out in a garbage can.
Cause he's garbage. You're garbage.
It's like it's the little unexpected things that getcha.
It really is.
Hey, it's Jeremy. What's going down, old buddy? Don't call me that. Jeremy chafed, flaring in a blood-curdling, tensing action.
There's like so much more interesting shit going on. Like, I want to know that your eyes are shining with tears. There's like, I want to know what Jeremy's been getting into with this, like, Wolf Alex situation.
Yes, like, how long have they had this secret code?
Right.
What are you doing?
And, like, old buddy. Agent? Exactly.
What's going to happen? Maybe he's going to give Darcy to Wolf. It'd be amazing. Are you worried about Jeremy?
Not really, actually.
Okay.
Should I be?
I can't remember, actually.
I really can't get past. This hardened gang member. And what I'm picturing is him poking his head up in the can.
I mean, I feel like that's the exact picture that I painted here.
The lid is still like on his head.
Hey, man.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking A, man.
Like some kind of deranged Oscar.
Yes, it's like a Muppet. Exactly.
Fuck. Looking for trouble? Hey, you got the girl with you, Wolf observed, quite blasé, contrasting Jeremy's unbridled rage. Sorry about the boyfriend, sweetie. Did you really like him that much anyway?
Amazing. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Wouldn't it be so great if Wolf was like, I'm a vengeance killer of statutory rapists. This is like,
he's this avenging angel, right?
Yeah, exactly. I winced, unable to brook his acerbic inquisition. I would never break down in front of this beast, but I came close.
This magnificent Teutonic man beast.
It's in a garbage can. This is a little humbling for Wolf. A
little bit.
It was only an ephemeral remembrance of Taylor that fortified my facade. Oh, challenge you, Wolf. Got a gun?
Love trash. Sorry.
We had that toy that just sang like a snippet of that song.
Big fan of Oscar the Grouch. He's the best.
He is the best. Sure, Wolf shrugged, insouciant. But can I call one man to watch the girl? Fair is fair. Fine. Jeremy's veins protruded sickeningly from his doughy flesh. Jeremy's not doughy. That's one man, and that's it. You try anything else, and I'll rip you apart.
Well, if you're doughy, your veins are. You're not very. There's not
exactly.
A lot of vascularity.
It's like the opposite.
Yeah. Unless something's very wrong.
Despite the tactile rancor between them, each bore implicit trust in each other. Why? Oh, without that, the gang empire would be a ravaged ruin.
Gang empire. Okay.
Hey, Stone, Wolf broadcast in the general vicinity. Come out. We need to keep an eye on the girl. A willowy, flaxen-haired youth pounced fleetly from the roof of the nearest garage, clutching a gun. How come, like, the lieutenant gets to be on the roof and Wolf is in the garage? He alighted at my feet, pranced skittishly away, and ground his feet into the grass 2 feet away from me. What's going on, Wolf?
battle. Jeremy here wants to challenge me because I killed his buddy. Who? Taylor Maris. Wolf dismissed the illustrious epithet as if it were nothing more than a statistic. How dare you, Wolf?
Yeah.
10 paces, Stone howled. Take your places and I'll count 10. So they're going to have an actual duel. Jeremy shuffled.
The 10 duel commandments.
What's that from?
That's from Hamilton.
I still haven't seen that. Shuffled insidiously to brace Wolf's taut frame. Get your guns ready, the arbitrator commanded. I plunged to the ground.
What? I'm sorry. This wouldn't make any sense because you haven't seen Hamilton, but like, it just made me think of the stupid glasses. And there's a part at the end where they're like, Burr is like, why Hamilton has his glasses on? Why except to take deadly aim? And I'm just like picturing it all. Like, so don't mind me. I'm just laughing to myself.
Stone's dappled complexion flashed toward my motion. Satisfied that I professed no threat, he scrutinized the gladiators.
I would also like to point out we're on like the last page. This is going to end the most abruptly.
So I will say there are like a page or two missing.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
I can tell you.
Gotcha.
This is nothing major. Like this is it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Stone stuttered deliberately. 7. A constricted sob pervaded my consciousness, and then the discordant fanfare of the smoking barrel stormed through the barren air. I collapsed to the trash-strewn welcoming sidewalk. She likes trash too.
No, oh, I love trash.
Everything dirty and dingy and rusty. Who was dead? Who had cheated? Whose egregious action had? Whose transgression had cost a life? Please, God, let it be Jeremy and not Wolf. Jeremy met my eyes first. No dangling limbs jetted ruby blood. No spreading stigma adorned his chest. No, he was a virile figure of mastery, poised intrepidly next to the fallen corpse of Wolf. Wolf's heart, the crux of his Machiavellian nature, in case you didn't get that,
yeah.
had been penetrated. Yeah. He was dead on impact.
Shut Wolf through the heart! Aw, poor Wolf.
Rest in peace, brother. I didn't do it, Jeremy stuttered, caught in a whirling torrent of pandemonium. It wasn't me, it was him. Stone, the Scandinavian Minister of Justice. What? Is he an international diplomat?
There's, like... Keep reading.
I'd been the one who jerked the trigger. It's not how we say that. It was his own master he'd slaughtered, and now the gravity of his deed convulsed him. He twitched in horror, then sagged as paper to the ground. Virtual lightning crackled through the air, and the high-voltage current of our shared horror reigned. Stone, I love you, I wailed, shattering the impregnable silence. I love you, I gushed. What made you kill him? Taylor Maris was my buddy, he revealed, hindered by the word throttling his gullet. He saved my life once. Deus ex machina.
Indeed.
I only knew him that one time. I ran out in front of a car and he almost killed himself trying to rescue me. So when Wolf mentioned that name, I couldn't just stand there and let one of you die. I had to avenge it somehow, I guess. Stone, the vigilante killer and the savior.
I appreciate that we have also just taken away like the vengeance. Like, Jeremy doesn't get closure.
Right?
Like, way to be impotent and not be able to get the job done. Amazing.
I'm just glad he's alive. And I'm sure Dakota is too.
Fair.
Stone, the vigilante killer and the savior. Is there anything we can do to repay you? Stone's crystalline eyes flickered erratically. They're going to kill me, was his stately assessment of the situation.
You could join our gang.
That's right. We don't have a gang name, but we'll get one. Consuming his own words, he realized the authenticity of them. They're going to kill me, he blubbered frenetically. They'll kill me. I killed Wolf. I can hear them coming. His eyes slipped bestially. Sorry, I'm thinking about Wolf in a garbage can.
With the lid on his head. Kind of wobbling back
popping
and forth.
Like a whack-a-mole. His eyes slipped bestially to and fro. Hide me. In a stalwart scoop, Stone's emaciated body was nestled in Jeremy's arms. Darcy, Jeremy heaved. We're going back home. Can you follow me okay? For answer, I hurtled to match his strides. I don't know how many miles we must have covered that night, all the way from downtown to Jefferson Park.
Yeah, it's a good hike. Yeah.
Nothing mattered anymore but reaching home. Tay would be waiting to shower me with candid compliments. Mixie would be burrowed before a Vestal fireplace. Everything would be back to normal. The tide would not have ebbed. The pallid moon would not have displaced the effulgent glory of the sun. That's not a very nice way to talk about the person that just tried to get you your vengeance.
Yeah.
Alas, the musings of the soul did not conform to the reality of the spheres. The crew at home wheeled around to greet us. They consolidated into one pair of red eyes, a single glistening diamond for the emerald in Taylor's eyes, for the blood-red rubies he shed, for the opal of his naivete and trust. Holy shit. Who the hell is that? Dakota grated bleakly, nodding toward a shrinking stone. And that is all the pages that I have.
So do they like incorporate this kid into the gang?
No, it's literally over probably on the next page.
Okay.
Where she just, it ends with the speech from Henry V, which is, you know, we few, we happy few, we band of brothers.
For the love of God.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that's it.
Wow. Wow. What a journey.
It's been real.
How do you feel getting to the end of that?
Fulfilled. Profoundly sad.
Now that whole stack there, is that just the, all of the new stuff?
Yes.
The whole stack.
No.
Okay.
No, about,
I was like, there's a
two-thirds of it.
Fuck ton there.
Yeah,
that's,
I know.
Crazy.
I know. It was, I didn't, like, I, it took me a long time to write this book.
So we still have more.
A lot more.
That is just the end of the story, but it's not the end of what we have for you. So we're going to flash back to the very, very beginning when we next meet.
That's right.
And we will, because you told me how it starts. I don't remember, though.
Well, and Jeremy jumps her.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Craziness. Just insanity. I would have rather Wolf got out a little bit more. Like,
I know.
Yeah, a little bit like a bitch,
not,
but that's okay.
Dead in a garbage can.
Oh, are we just picturing him still in the garbage can?
No, he definitely got out of the garbage can.
Oh my God. And then they just rando. Stone. Stone flying in.
Like someone we've never seen before, who is also named after Stone Gossard from Pearl Jam.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, this is important context, Sheila.
And is also the Scandinavian Minister of Justice.
Sure.
What?
Scandinavian Batman. Let's go. All right. It is late.
It is.
We are a little drunk.
Very. Well, like, no. Moderately.
No, moderately.
This is like, a lot of this is euphoria from doing this again.
1,000%. This has been delightful.
Awesome it's been.
Mm-hmm. So a little bit shorter of an episode, but yeah, we need to go to bed.
It's late. It's like, yeah.
It's late. It's past our bedtimes. We're old now. So thank you as always for listening, folks, and we will talk to you next time.
All right. Bye, everybody.